We begin the current daf Masechet Pesachim, daf Yodal. We begin 5 lines down from the top of the Amud, where we begin the next Mishnah. Now this sugya, beginning with this Mishnah, but the next 7 daf, is called the sugya Reb Chanina Skana Kehanim, which are the opening words of this Mishnah, which begins one of the most fundamental sugyas in Shas relating to the halachas of Tum and Tahar. Now as Rashi explains, the reason why this is brought over here is because of the sefer of this Mishnah, which will say about regarding the halachas of Bir Chametz, which we were speaking about in the previous Mishnah, and that comes into this topic. And that's why it introduces it over here, and the Gemara continues with this sugya for the next 7 dafim. So our Mishnah begins. Reb Chanina Skana Kehanim Omer. Reb Chanina, who was the Skan of the Kehanim, which means to say he was like the second behind the Kohen Gadol, he said the following halachic statement. He says, Mimeim Shal Kehanim, from all the days of the Kehanim, Lo Nimnu Milisrefes Habasar, they never held back from burning meat of Kachim, which is when they would burn the meats which were being taken out to be burnt, and that would be in the case chenitma bevlat hatuma, when meat of kachim would become tummy. So then there's a chiv to burn it. They can't use it as a sacrifice. They can't consume it. They would burn it. So they wouldn't hold back from burning a vlat hatuma. A vlat hatuma is tuma that's derived, and what that means is if let's say basar kaidush, which means a carbon, let's say that was kachim, that the flesh of that touched a rishon latuma, and the rishon latuma is something that there's the way it goes is the avi avos hatumah is the grandfather. That's only when there's a corpse itself. Everything else from the highest levels are avatumah. And then when it touches, for example, either someone that touched a corpse, which is avatumah, or let's say a sheretz is avatumah, that which touches that, and every time it touches, the transmission makes it one level lower of tumah, that becomes a rishon latumah. So if let's say one of the, let's say a carbon chatas, or any type of carbon, that it touched a rishon latumah, as we said, it was nitma bevlat latumah, therefore it becomes a sheni in that transmission. And that is what Reb Chanina Skana Kehanim is saying, that the Kehanim never held back from burning that which is now a sheni because it touched a vlat hatumah, which is a rishon hatumah, with something that was a more chomer digatumah in the process of burning it, im habasar shenitma ba'avatumah, with a piece of a carbon that, let's say, was tameh from an avatumah. Let's say it touched a sheretz or touched somebody that had touched a corpse, and therefore they're a higher level of tumah. So now when you're going to burn, so you're taking all these karbanas, you got to take it out to burn. So now one is a rishon now because it touched an avatumah, and one is a sheni because it touched a vlad, which is a rishon latumah, and every time it touches, it gets lower transmission. So afa pisha meisifin tum al tumasay, even though now, when you're going to take it out to burn, but before it totally gets consumed, it's going to be touching something that's more chamer, so therefore it's going to be increasing its tumah. That didn't concern them. And the reason is because even this one, which is a lower level tumah, since it's going out to be burned, they weren't concerned if it's going to become a greater level of tumah than it was before it was being taken out to be burnt. And the Gemara is going to ask on this, that it doesn't seem to be increasing any tumah whatsoever. Because originally, how did the lower thing become tummy? It touched what's called a vlat hatumah, and that made it into a sheni. Now, when it touches this other carbon that had become tummy by touching an avatumah, what is that? That carbon itself is a rishon latumah. So essentially, even if this sheni would touch the rishon, what would it make it in the transmission? Again a sheni. So it's not really increasing the tumah, so that's going to be the Gemara's question to understand exactly what ha'isavas tumah there is. But however, this is the statement of Chanina Skana Kehanim, that since it's being taken out to burn, although generally we are concerned about the transmitting tumah to karbonis, to kachim, however, since it's being taken out to burn, and it's already tameh, so therefore we weren't concerned about increasing the tumah. So related to this, the Gemara says that Hoysev Rebbe Kiva Amar, Rebbe Kiva added to this testimony of Chanina Skana Kehanim an even greater idea. He said, Mimim Shal Kehanim, from all the days of the Kehanim and the Beis HaMikdash, Lo Nimnu Melahadlikas Hashem, they never held back from lighting the oil of Truma, Shenifsel B'Tvul Yom, that had become invalidated by touching a Tvul Yom. A Tvul Yom is somebody that had become Tameh, and then he immersed himself in the mikvah. Now he's considered a Tvul Yom, that he's considered immersed for the day, that is, regarding Kachim and Truma, he does not become pure until Harav Shemesh, until the evening comes. And therefore, as the Gemara explains in Masechtas Yevamos and Daf Ein Ha'Ayin Aleph, that this is actually a biblical law, that it invalidates only Truma, not regarding things like, for example, Chulin. However, regarding things like Truma and Kachim, a Tful Yom, somebody that already immersed, so he's somewhat Tahar, because he already got rid of it by immersing, and there's no problem about Meiser and Chulin. However, regarding Truma and Kachim, there is a problem. So therefore, the transmission would be a lesser, it would make things of Kachim that it touches into a Shlishi. So we have this Truma, the Shemen of Truma, that touched a tvul yom, which essentially is a sheni on that level, making the shemen into a shlishi, so that the kohanim never had qualms of burning that oil b'ner shenitba b'tmeimes in a lamp that lamp had acquired the tumah from something that was a tmeimes. So Rashi explains exactly what the case conceptualization would be. A tmeimes is somebody that touched a corpse. A tmeimes is an avatuma, is what's called a father of tumah, a very high level of tumah. And an avatuma can be metamic vessels, and Rashi explains the sources of this. It's a pasuk in Bamidbar Yotes that says, whatever touches the tumah item will become tumah, and the person that touches will become tumah until the evening. And this is in the parasha of Parah regarding a tmeimes, about somebody that touched a corpse. So from that pasuk you see that a tmeimes, somebody that had touched a corpse, is metamei Adam. He could convey tumah to another person, as it says that whoever touches the tumah, the corpse will become tumah, and then someone that touches him will become tumah. So we see that a person that had touched a corpse who is a tumah meis can now convey tumah to another person. So therefore, essentially what you see is that the pasuk made the person who touched the corpse into an ava tumah, which is different than every other tumah, because generally the highest level of tumah itself is ava tumah, then the transmission would make it one level lower into a rishon. But here it's not like that. Here we made the corpse into an avi, a voice, so to speak, like a grandfather of tumah. And then the one who touches it becomes an avatumah, like a sheretz and nevela, that those things are avois atumah, and they could convey tumah to a person, but not like somebody that touches a sheretz. Whereas, and that's really what essentially is. The source tumah here, which is the corpse, is different than the source tumah of, let's say, like a sheretz and nevela. We're there that a person touching the sheretz and nevela would not be able to convey tumah to a person and to kalim. It's only in this case, tumah meis is unique in the sense that the source tumah is so strong that even the person that touches that can go ahead and now be metame odem kalim. And that is, like we said, if someone that touches the sheretz can only be metame oichle namashkin, food items and beverages, as the pasuk says regarding shrotzim, in Pasuk Vayikra Yud Aleph, that whatever is inside the vessel will become tummy. From all the food items that would be eaten, then that water had come on it will become tummy, and all the beverages that one would drink in the vessel will become tummy. So from the Pasuk you see that what does it talk about regarding a kli that had acquired tummy from a sheretz, which means, again, the sheretz is a av, and the kli becomes a rishon. What are the things that it's coming tummy to? Only to eichle mashkim, only to food items and beverages, and not to adam kelim. So therefore, Rashi concludes, what essentially we see is that this lamp is a rishon. And that's, again, through the tumah meis, and that was what Rashi was coming to explain, that a tumah meis is unique in the sense that although it's not the source tumah, it can still be an avah tumah. So now the lamp that it touched, that touched the tumah meis, becomes a rishon tumah. And therefore, now you're having an increasing of tumah, because originally, what was the oil? The oil was a shlishi, as we said, because it touched the tful yem, which essentially is like a sheni, making the oil into a shlishi. And now, through touching the ner, the lamp, which is so high that it's a rishon, a shlishi touching rishon, will now go ahead and make it into a sheni, something that it did not have before. So, and that's what Rabbi Kiva's testimony is saying, that af apisha mesifin tuma al tumasai, although we're increasing the tuma tumasai, that they did not have any qualms, they did not never hold back about doing that. And again, since it already had a level of tuma on it, they weren't concerned, and they even proactively went and increased the tuma by going ahead and burning the oil, which is only a shlishi, in the lamp that's a rishon, thus making the oil, elevating it from a lower level of tuma shlishi to a level sheni of tuma. Now, related to these two statements of Rechuninska and the Kahanim and Rebbe Kiva, regarding that, you see that we're not concerned about increasing levels of tumah when we're going to eliminate an item anyway. That is what comes to regarding to our sugya on the halachas of bir chametz. That Amr Meir says that midivreim lamanu, from their words we learn that what? That we're not concerned about being metame something when we're going to burn it. That we can eliminate, we can burn by doing bir chametz with truma that is tahir, with truma that is tamei on Erev Pesach. And that is again during the time of bir chametz, and that is the same idea, the same concept he's saying. That since even the tahir truma is going to be eliminated, and although generally that's forbidden min haTorah to be metamei truma tahira, but now we're not concerned because it's going to be burnt anyway. And as the pasuk in Bamidbar Yudches says, that es mishmeris trumasai, that we have to watch the truma that it should not become tamei. But what we learn from their ideas is, although by kachim we have a similar, that's the halacha that you have to protect it not to become tamei. But we're not concerned; we're going to eliminate it anyway. Same thing would apply to bir chametz on erev Pesach. However, Amar Bis Risi says, Eina hi hamida. That is not the same measurement. That's not the same yardstick. And you can't learn out what you're trying to say from their words. And the Gemara is going to ask, why is it not? It seems to be the same idea that it's we have no qualms about adding tumah when we're eliminating the item of kachem or truma anyway. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi says it's not the case. Rather, Umaydim Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, they agree that although they argue regarding the burning of truma, in this regard they agree. It's not true. What you're trying to say that we would burn the chametz erev Pesach to Truma Torah with the Tumei, we'll put it all together because we're not concerned, that's not true. Even those who argue would agree in this case that we would have to burn them separately. What is it that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua do argue about that sometimes you would put it together is only al hatluya v'al Tumei. Regarding a Truma that is a suffix, it's in doubt that. And together with Truma Tameya, there is where there is an opinion that would say you do it together, but never when one is Tahar totally and one is Tami. Shabbalezah Oimer, the Rabbalezah says, Tisar v'zulasma v'zulasma. Even in such a case, you should still burn each one separately because regarding the Taylor one, that it's a Suffolk, maybe it is Tahar, you don't want to burn it together with the Tameya because then it's going to be transmitting the Tumah as you're eliminating it. Rabbi Shua, in that case, when one of them is at least Thailand, then he would agree that you would burn it together, but never would anyone say that when one is Tahar and one is Tameh, that you would burn them together. Now the Gemara asks regarding the first item in our Mishnah, regarding the statement of Reb Chanina Skanakhanim. So the Gemara says, Mechti, let's see. Let's analyze this case that is the Chiddush that he's saying. He said, Basar shenitma bevlat ha-tumah. He was saying regarding a piece of meat of kachim that became tumah from a vlat ha-tumah, again, a rishon le-tumah that it touched. Now it touched that piece of kachim. So my hava, what does that piece of sacrificial meat, what does that become now when it touches a rishon? It becomes a sheni. Every time the transmission, it lowers one level. So it becomes a secondary. So kisarif le bahadi basar shenitma be'ava tumah. So now when you're going to burn that carbon, together with a piece of meat that became tummy from an avatama, which essentially means that what is that piece of meat? That's a rishon. So now my hava, what does that carbon that was a sheni, that now when it touches the rishon, what does it become? It becomes a sheni. So the Gemara asks, then if that's the case, so sheni v'sheni hu. That is, originally it was a sheni, because you said it had touched a rishon, it touched the vlad, so it became a sheni. And now, when you're bringing it together with a different rishon which became tummy from avatama, it's still a sheni. So my moisav le tuma al tumasik, as we had explained in the Mishnah, what exactly is the increasing of tuma that you're saying? Oh, we're not concerned. We're going to burn it anyway. So go ahead, put the sheni together with the rishon. Oh, even though that's an increase in tuma, that's not a problem. We're not concerned about that. But what exactly increase is there? It originally became sheni from touching a rishon, and if it's going to be burnt together with a rishon now, and it's going to touch in the process, it's at most going to make it a sheni again. It's already a sheni, so where's the increase in tumah? So on that, Rabbi Yehuda Ruda explains the case as follows. He says, Hacha bevlad vlad askina. Regarding the case of the Mishnah of Reb Chanina Skanakan, that we said that it became tumah from a vlad ha-tumah, it didn't mean a vlad, which vlad means a derivative. So generally, the term usually means, it means the av is the source, and the vlad is a rishon, it's the child, so to speak. That's the literal definition from the av, which is the father. So that's a rishon, so we had assumed that it means to say that it's going to make the now current meat into a sheni. No, when it said vlad, it meant a vlad, a derivative of a derivative, which meant to say it was a sheni. The havale, which means to say that now the meat that touched that becomes a shlish, it becomes a third tier, a third level, a grandchild of the av. And therefore, when now we go ahead and burn that meat that became tummy from an avatuma, which is a rishin, now what happens is that this shlishi becomes a sheni. And therefore, there is a hoisafas atuma. And however, in spite of that, b'ksavah, Reb Chanina Skanakhanim held, shlishi mutur la'aseisei sheni. You're allowed to make a shlishi into a sheni in the process of when you're going to eliminate it. So therefore, that resolves the question of what the Isaf is. It wasn't a Vlad that was making it Tame. It was a Vlad, which means it was a Sheni, which makes it into a Shlishi. Now it's going to be touching a Rishon in the process of burning it, which will make it a higher level of a Sheni, and still we're not concerned about that. Now the Gemara asks, we don't understand the case exactly. V'ho ein oichel metame oichel. But the halacha is, you're telling me that we're burning two pieces of meat. They're both pieces of food items. And the halacha is that a food item cannot convey tumah to another food item. And therefore, since it cannot be metamed, what exactly hasafas tumah is it when you're saying that you're going to burn it? The time, like we learned the braisa that says this idea. The Braise says, Yochel yehei oichel mitame oichel. You would think that a food item can be mitame another food item. What's the difference in the whole hierarchy of the process of transmitting tumma? Whatever it is should be able to transmit. On that, Tama Loima, the Pasuk of Yikra says, V'chiyutan mayim al zera, that if water will be placed on a seed, which is what the halach of hechsher tum is, v'nafal min nevlasim alav, and then a carcass will fall onto that seed, tamehu, the seed becomes tame. So the derivation is that hu tame, that because the word hu sounds like it's a meat, that it's diminishing, it's excluding something, that the seed becomes tame. Ve'ein oisa, however, it, the seed itself, does not make another food item, kayetze by the same halacha of tame, that it will not be able to convey tame, that a food item cannot convey tumah to another food item. Therefore, how do you understand the case, b'chlal, that even if you're saying that, yes, it became a shlishi, and now it's being burnt with a rishon, so therefore it should become a sheni, but that's not the halacha. We say a food item cannot convey a tumah to another food item. So on that, the Gemara says as follows. Hanichala Abaye the Amar, we could still resolve the question according to Abaye's opinion. That Loi Shana, we didn't learn this halacha of the Braisa that learned that from the Pasuk that you see that a food item cannot convey tumah to another food item, that's Ela B'chulun. That's only unconsecrated items. Of B'chuma B'kachim, but regarding the cases of when it's in relation to Truma and Kachim, which is the case of our Mishnah, which we're talking about Kachim and Truma, then it can make the food item into another food item, transmitting of the tumah. As the Gemara later on, Daf Yizayin, will learn from a pasuk in Chagi that we learn that from the prophecy where he says lechem and azid yain b'shemen, that food item could convey tumah to another food item. So that makes sense according to him why it's not a difficulty from the Braisa, because the Braisa is talking about chulin, whereas Amish is talking about truma kachim. And similarly, Lo Ravada Bar Hava Mishmei de Rava Nami Dama, that he says lo yishanu el chulin utruma. He adds on, he says the pasuk that we bringing in the Braisa not only is by chulin, but it's even by truma, that food item cannot convey tumah to another food item. However, but he does agree that regarding kachim, it could make a food item into another food item, a transmitter of tumma, and therefore shop it. That would make sense because our Mishnah, again, is talking about kachim. Ella la Ravina mishmei de Rava de Amma, but what would be difficult would be, according to Ravina's opinion in the name of Rava, that he says, mikr mole dibra hakasav. The Braisa quoted of explicit pasuk that didn't seem to be excluding anything, that loishna chulin, it doesn't make a difference if it's chulin, loishna truma, it doesn't make a difference if it's truma, loishna kachim, it doesn't make a difference even if it's kachim. A food item cannot make another food item ever in any circumstance, and that's because the pasuk didn't make any differences. Now, regarding the nevuah of Chagi that the other opinions have brought, that is only rabbinical tumma, which was decreed already. But regarding biblical halacha deraisa, a food item cannot be metame food item. Rather, what is the halacha? How does it continue to transmit? We know it can be shlishi, revi in certain circumstances. And that's only a food item could convey tumah to a beverage, and a beverage could convey tumah to a food item. As the Gemara later on, Daf Yutches, will learn that it only works with those opposites of food to drink and drink to food, but it cannot be a food to food in that order. And therefore, according to his opinion, Ma'ik Lamemo, what are you going to say? How do we even understand your B'chinin Skanah Hakanim's chiddush, even if we already answered that what would be the hisafa, that it was a shlichi. Now it's touching a rishon, so it'll become a sheni, but how could it have the transmission if they're both basar, if they're both food items, and a food item cannot convey tuma to another food item in all circumstances, according to his opinion. So that the Gemara tries answering, what we're talking about is the ikam mashkin b'hadi basar. The case that we're talking about is that there is beverage with that piece of meat. When the av hatuma had touched that piece of meat, there was some liquid that was floating on the piece of meat, which became tumma with the piece of meat, and therefore the beverage itself becomes a rishon too, because it also touched the avatumma. Now, when you burn that piece of meat with the shlishi that had touched the tful yayim, the beverage was still on that piece of meat, dukametame machas mashkin. Now, that conveys tumma to the meat that's being burnt with it because of the beverage. Now that shlishi becomes a sheni. You're right that the meat itself cannot convey the tumah. But the liquid that's there, that's a mashkin, that could convey tumah, because we said beverage could convey to food and food to beverage. And therefore, since there was some liquid that was a rishon, now that meat will become a sheni. But that the Gemara asks, ihachi, if that's the case conceptualization that you're talking about, hai im habasa shenitma ba'av hatumah, the words that it says in our Mishnah, it says, oh, it's going to get tuma, this hoisafa, from meat that became tummy from the avatuma, it should have said, im habasu mashkin miboyle. It should have said that it's going to get tuma from the meat with the liquid that's on it, because that is the primary transmitter of tuma, the way you're describing the case. So what it should have said, umashkin. So therefore the Gemara says, Eli, you're right. Nihi, so we're not talking about because it's beverage. We're talking about that they're just both pieces of meat. Nihi de'in oichem etam oichem. The rice, although you're right, that food items cannot convey tumah to other food items. Min hatayra, midrabanan, miyu mitameh. But midrabanan, food items could transmit tumah to other food items. And when Reb Chanin Skanakana was saying that we're not concerned about the hisafas tumah, he was talking about hisafas tumah dirabanan. And the case is, as Rabbi Yehuda had said, that it was a shlishi because it wasn't a vlad, it was a vlad, which means it was a touched the sheni, which made a shlishi. Now it's being burnt with the other meat that had become tumah from an avatum, which means it was a rishon. Shlishi with a rishon, now it's going to become a sheni, and although minatari that does not work, but minarabonan that does work, and although you're not allowed to make even tumah minarabonan, we're not concerned about it because we're going to be eliminating anyway. Now the Gemara quotes the second statement. In our mission, it said, Rebbe Kiva added that Mimeim Shal Kahanim, from all the days the Kahanim in the Beis HaMikdash, Le'nimnu Melahadlik V'chulu, they weren't concerned about burning the oil that had become invalid from a Tful Yom that touched it in a lamp that became Tameim from a Tamei Meis. So the Gemara says, Mechti, let's understand this case to see exactly what Rebbe Kiva is adding on. Shemen Shenifsel B'Tful Yom. Oil that becomes invalid from touching a Tful Yom, my Havel, what does that become? As we explained before, it becomes a shlishi because we said that Tful Yom is not really such a strong tumah because he already immersed in the mikvah. So therefore, he is somewhat like a sheni, and when he touches an item, it becomes a shlishi. So now, chimadlik le b'ner shenitma b'tmei mei. So now, when you burn, when you're lighting this oil in a lamp that became tumah from a tmei meis, which is an ava tumah, meaning somebody that touched the corpse is an ava tumah. Now, when he's going and touching the lamp, that lamp is a rishon. So now when you're burning the oil, that's a shlishi in the lamp, my hava, so what does the oil become? Sheni. So it is increasing the tumah because again, the lamp was a rishon and the oil was a shlishi. But the question is, my kamashmon, so what would be his chiddush? That shlishi mutra laseis sheni. Oh, that the shlishi, which was the oil, you're allowed to make it into a sheni, which is increasing the tumah, which is a chiddush. But Hainohach, that is exactly the case of Chanin Zagandakan, who we already explained that his case is talking about, because or else we said, what was the Chiddush by him? They're both Shainis anyway. So he said, oh, it was a Shlishi touching a Rishin, now it's going to be going up to a Shani. So what is Reb Kiva, quote unquote, adding? That it sounds like that Reb Kiva's Maisiv, he's adding testimony on the testimony that is increasing the Chiddush that we would not have known from Chanin Zagandakan, but it seems like it's saying exactly the same type of case that Chanin Zagandakan had said. So on that, Amr Yehuda says, what we're talking about over here is a meta lamp. And the chiddush in that is the Rachmanam, and the Torah says, we're continuing on Talmud Beis. It says in the Pasuk in Bamidbar, Bachalal Cheriv, that someone that was killed, the Chalal is a term for a corpse, that it was felled Cheriv by the sword. Now, with the Pasuk seems to be equating the sword with the Chalal, with the dead person. Now, what does that mean? That means Cheriv Harehu Chalal. It means that the sword is like the corpse, which means that metal that touches a corpse becomes an avia vaisa tumah, becomes a grandfather of tumah, which is the highest level something would come, like the corpse itself. And similarly, when metal touches a tumei meis, which is somebody that touched a corpse, the metal becomes like the ava tumah itself. And as Rashi tells us, this is the gzeiras hakasav regarding metal, only regarding the halachas of tumah regarding a corpse, but not regarding other tumas. And therefore, if that's the case, the havyalei, so therefore the lamp becomes, in this circumstance, since it's metal, it becomes an avatuma. When it touches the tamei meis, it becomes like the tamei meis itself. It's not like usual transmission that it goes down the level. The metal in the halachas of tumah of a corpse, on those levels of the hierarchy regarding the mess itself and even something that touches the meis, becomes an avatuma. And therefore, when you're putting the oil that's a shlishi inside this lamp, it's not becoming just a sheni, it's becoming a rishon. V'ksavar shlishi mutu la'saisei rishon. And Rebbe Kiva's chiddush, more than Rebbe Chanin Zakan HaKahanim, not just taking it up from a shlishi to a sheni, he's taking it up from a shlishi all the way to a rishon, and that is his chiddush, he holds that you're allowed to make a shlishi into a rishon. So that is how Rebbe Yehuda explained, A, first of all, the case of Rebbe Chanin Zakan HaKahanim, taking it up one level, and now he explains the case of Rebbe Kiva, taking it up two levels from a shlishi to a rishon. Now the Gemara asks on his case conceptualization. Umay duchgid Rabbi Yehuda leukmi b'nei shematechas. What was pushing, so to speak, Rabbi Yehuda to explain? Because we had the question of explaining it regarding a metal lamp. Nukmi b'nei shel cheres. He could have also explained Rabbi Kiva's chiddush on b'chinas kanim even in an earthenware lamp, and which, as we said, which ultimately that lamp would only be a rishon when it touches a tamei meis. And Reb Kiva, so to speak, would then would be teaching that a shlishi, you're allowed to make it into a sheni. But then the question would be, if we'd be talking about an earthenware lamp, the question was, my hoisiv, then what is Reb Kiva adding on more than what Reb Chinin Skandam Kanma said? On that, the answer would be, the ilu hasam, because whereas by Reb Chanina's case, where there you had meat from Kadshim, that when you're burning a shlishi with a rishon, we said that you're going to be making it into a sheni, there, tamei, originally, it was something that was tummy, that it could have made something else tummy too. Because although the carbon, whichever carbon it was a shlishi, it can make a revi, it can make a fourth level, which is only a chiddush by kachim, because now since we're talking about kachim, it could have made something else into kachim. Now the term that's important over here to keep in mind what the Gemara is discussing is regarding the terminology tummy and pasal. Tummy means to say that it becomes impure, and that term also means that it could then invalidate something else with its tummy. The term pasul means to say that it's the end of the line, that it becomes invalid, but it cannot continue to transmit. And therefore, what the Gemara is differentiating is that we could have said a chiddush even if it's an earthenware lamp. Because since we're talking about a case of, in Reb Chanina's case, was talking about regarding kachim, and as the Gemara is going to prove, Reb Kiva was talking about Truma, therefore, originally, it's going to be that Reb Chanina's chiddush is less than Rabbi Kiva's chiddush. Because originally, this shlishi of the carbon was a shlishi. Now, a shlishi can still be called, quote-unquote, tamei, because it can convey tamei to something else, transmit it, making it into revi, vitamei. And now, when it becomes a sheni, it's also still in that same definition of tamei. In other words, the name didn't get any worse than it originally was, because although it's going up a level, but it's still maintaining the term of tummy that it had originally. Ve'ilu hacha, whereas here regarding the testimony of Rabbi Kiva, and Rashi explains that this oil must be talking about, when Rabbi Kiva says that regarding this oil, it's a shlishi, they weren't concerned about burning it in this ner that had become, that had gotten tumma from an abatumma, must be talking about truma, as Rashi explains. Because if you're going to tell me it's talking about shemen, oil of kachim, which is what the case of Rabbi Chanina Skanakan was talking about regarding kachim, the only oil we have in the Beis HaMikdash is the oil by the Menachis. And that was eaten. And that's not fit to be lit and used at lighting in a candle. And if you're going to say that it became tummy before you put it into the mincha, but it was already sanctified in the vessel, then there is no permission for the Kahanim to utilize it. Rather, it would be burnt with other kachim in the Beis HaDashen, like other psuli kachim. And therefore, there is no case that would have been possible for what Rabbi Kiva was talking about, that, oh yeah, they had no qualms about lighting a candle, or lighting a lamp, which is why we're talking about a lamp. We're not talking about the was light lit in the menorah. We're talking about a lamp that they would be using. There was no problem about using it to light up the area in the lamp that had become tamei from a tamei meis. This is what type of case would that be if it was talking about kachim? If it was regarding a mincha, so then you're not allowed to go ahead and use it as lamp to see. You would have to, as light, you would have to actually use it to eat it. And if it's regarding that it became tamei, so you can't consume it, then they wouldn't be able to use it to light up. They would have to burn it in the base adeshin. So therefore, Rashi proves, which the Gemara is assuming, that Rabbi Kiva was not talking about a case of kachim. Rather, talking about oil of truma that became tamei. And that is what Rabbi Kiva was saying, testimony, that the kohen would light it, and that is permitted, as the pasuk says, Nasati lechas mishmeres trumasai. I gave you the watching of my trumais, which the Gemara elsewhere darshans to say that there's two trumas that the pasuk was talking about. So it says in the plural, one is truma tahira, and one is truma tamei. And the Torah is telling you it's yours, and that is you're allowed to go ahead and burn it, use it as to use as fuel under what you're cooking, as the Gemara and Yevamos and Daf Ayin Dalam and Alpha explains. And therefore, hence, this oil that's a shlishi of truma, it was not tamei, quote unquote, to be metami other things. Rather, it was pasul. It was invalid. Now, what does that mean? Why by kachim are we calling it tamei? And why over here, which we're saying must be talking about a case of truma, it's called only pasul? because a shlishi does not mimic, cannot go ahead and transmit and make something in regard to halachas of truma into a revi. That's a chiddush in kachim. Kachim, since it's more sanctified, the more sanctified something is, the greater the depth the truma can get, and the more sensitive it is, and therefore it can become a revi. But truma cannot. Therefore, when originally it was a shlishi, it was at most psul. It was invalid. It didn't have the greater name of tume. However, the tume, now when you go ahead and you burn this shemen shel truma, that's a shlishi, in the ner that got tume from the avatuma, although it's a kli cheres and it's becoming a rishon, now when this oil becomes a sheni, it's not the same as a rechinin hakanim's case, because now it becomes quote unquote tume, because now it could convey tuma to a truma, because truma could become a shlishi, just not a revi. And therefore, the Gemara's question is, what pushed Rabbi Huda to say? The case is talking about a ner shema teches, a metal lamp. It could be a chiddush of Rabbi Kiva, even if it's an earthenware lamp. And although they're both saying cases of it becoming a shlishi to a sheni, the difference would be is that Rabbi Kiva would be adding on that it's increasing tuma even in its element of definition, that it's not just psul, but even it's going to become tame, and even that's permitted when you're going to eliminate, which is essentially they're both chedushim, but Rabbi Kiva would be increasing this idea. So then that the Gemara answers Amar Rava, that the reason why Rabbi Huda said it in that case is masnit and kashise. Rabbi Huda was bothered by the terminology of the Mishnah, because my area, why was it the Tani that the term that Tan had said was ner shenitma betmei meis? It was talking about a case that the lamp became tame from a tamei mace, from a person that touched a corpse. And the reason is, if we would be talking about, as the Gemara is asking on Rabbi Huda, regarding a lamp that's of cheres, of earthenware, and we're talking about, as that would be, that it's a rishon, so then why did we have to say that the lamp got tamei from an avatuma of a mess regarding somebody that had touched a corpse? Nisni shenitma. It should just say in our Mishnah that the lamp became tamei. Stam, it shouldn't said, which that we would know that to mean b'sheretz, even if it touches sheretz, because we know the halacha is that a vessel, which what the lamp is a kli, cannot be mekabel tuma only from an avatuma. And therefore, why does it make a difference to me what the avatuma is, that I should say it's from a mess, in other words, from somebody that touched the mess, who that's an avatuma, or if it's an avatuma of a sheretz, just say that the lamp became tamei. I'll know that it became tamei from an avatuma. And what is the difference if it became from an avatuma of sheretz or from somebody that touched a mess, which is a tamei mace? Why say tamei mace? Ella, rather, from the fact that the Mishnah is set in the category of mess, must be, which is what was driving Rabbi Huda, they were talking about a ner shema teches of a metal lamp. Because eizehu davar shechaluka tumasei bein tumas mes l'sheretz. What is something that it makes a difference regarding the tuma of it, if it got tuma from a mess or from a sheretz? Hava oimer ze mateches. That is something that is metal. As we learned before from the pasuk of Bechalal Cherev, that we learned that metal, which is a cherev, the sword, will actually get and attain the same tuma as the mess or the tamei mace itself. And then that is what the chiddush of what Rabbi Kiva was adding on, is that a lamp, that in itself is an avatama, that is saying an increase of two madrigas. That is, we're talking about that the shlishi of the shem and truma went and touched, now when you're putting it inside the lamp, a avatama. And now it's not just becoming a sheni, it's actually becoming a rishon, and that's what Rabbi Kiva is adding on, more than Rabbi Chinyas said, two levels, not just one level. So Amar Rava, Rava says, Shema Mina, from this that Rabbi Kiva said, that the way it's said in the Mishnah was that Hoisev Rabbi Kiva is adding on, that Ksav Rabbi Kiva must be, Rabbi Kiva holds, Tumas Mashkin, Letame Acherim, that the ability for a beverage to transmit Tumah to other things is Dairaisa, is biblical. And as Rashi says, not like the other Tanoim in the Perek later on, Daf Tezayin and Aleph, that they hold that a beverage, although we said that food item cannot convey Tumah to food item, and it's only beverage that can make tumah to food item and food item to beverage, there are those that want to learn that a beverage can be metama food item is not menatayr. And that would be, at most, a midrabanu. From Reb Kiva's explanation in our Mishnah, we can prove that obviously he holds like the Tanoim that hold it's minatayr. And the reason is, diisa gedaydich, because if you would assume to say that the beverages are not metame other things, only drabanan, then the question would be, what would this increasing of Rabbi Akiva that he's saying, that the Shemin that was originally a Shlishi, then now you're making a Rishon, and you see that Rabbi Akiva is not concerned about the Hosafas Tumah because you're going to eliminate it. What's the difference? What's the difference? What would there be that you're doing, so to speak, worse by going ahead and increasing the Tumah from a Shlishi now into a Rishon, let's say, as we just explained the case? And because you're not concerned about it because you're going to eliminate it, what was the problem? Mechdi, Hainer, this lamp that we said was an Ava Tumah. Now when it makes this oil into a region, Maika Mahani Leila Hai Shemin, what exactly are you doing even that's, so to speak, causing a problem to this oil since it cannot go ahead and be metame other things anyway? Again, we're talking about Shemin, that's a beverage. And if you're saying that beverages cannot convey tumma to other things, min hatayra, so what exactly would be the problem about making it into a rishon? What are you doing? What's the difference if it was a shlishi to a rishon? As the Gemara explains, ilav sule gufe, if you're going to say, what do you mean? For the shemen itself. Before it was a shlishi, a lower level, and now it's a rishon. And that the Gemara says, but hapasul v'kai, it doesn't make a difference. It was something that was invalid. It was truma, we're saying, and it was a shlishi, so it's invalid. And now that it becomes a rishon, we said, what would be the problem? It would, let's say, get a higher level. Higher level of what? To transmit tumah, but it can't transmit tumah any reason with their isa. And therefore, it stays with the terminology of even psul. It doesn't even get the terminology of tumah because it cannot convey tumah to anything anyway. So again, what is the difference? If it was a shlishi, now it's a rishon. So therefore, it must be that obviously, that it could convey tumah now that it becomes a rishon. Oh, so of course, it's going to convey tumah to, let's say, to machalim, to food items, and therefore, you see that Rabbi Akiva obviously holds that it could convey midaraisa. Well, the Gemara says, no, mimai, how do you know this? Dilma, maybe what it would increase, and from when it was a shlisha to a rishon, is a tame acherim, to now go ahead and to make other things tame, midarabanan, meaning you're right. Min hatayra, Rabbi Akiva would agree to those tanoim, that a mashka cannot be tame other things, min hatayra. But midrabanan, that would be the increase, because midrabanan before, it was a shlishi, so that was the end of the level, it was possible, but now it becomes a rishon, midrabanan could go ahead and convey tumah. How do you know that he would hold midaraisa? And that Gemara says no. It must be that Rabbi Akiva holds his midaraisa. Because if you would think that the increase of tumah that Rabbi Akiva is talking about is midrabanan, the that's the chiddush he's coming to teach us, so then if that's the case, my area, why does he say that we're talking about that they would go ahead, they had no problems about lighting the oil of the shlishi in a lamp, that is in the case of be'avatumah, in something that is an avatumah, that now that goes ahead and makes the oil into a rishon min hatayra, because anything that touches the avatumah becomes a rishon min hatayra. But at most what you're talking about is that you're saying his chiddush is that because now it's going to become a rishon, so now, and therefore what? For it itself, it's going to stay the same and valid, because the chiddush would be that now you can go ahead and transmit tumah drabanan. But if that's the case, a filibarishin visheni, then you could have said the same chiddush, even if you would be lighting the shemen of a shlishi, even in a rishon l'tumah, or even in a sheni l'tumah, it would still be namitchilahava, it would still be a rishon. As Rashi explains, there would still be an increase of tuma midrabanan, when it would go ahead, and in other words, what we're talking about is, we said that, basically the Gemara's question is, why does that have to become a rishon min hatayra? You could still make this beverage into a rishon midrabanan, to go ahead and transmit tuma midrabanan, even when it became tame from a sheni and a rishon, it could still go ahead and convey tuma to a sheni and a shlishi, because as the Gemara is going to explain, the Rabbanan made a gzeirah regarding beverages. That even if it touched beverages that are a sheni, it's going to become a rishon. And therefore, what the question basically is that if at most we're talking about rabbinic tuma that we're transmitting, the shemen of truma that was a shlishi could become a rishon, not just with a case of what Rekiv is talking about, ava tuma, which is what the case we're talking about of the Ner Shel Matechas, it would even be from a rishon or a sheni. That sheni that touches the oil would make it now into a rishon, which would then go ahead and allow it, midrabanan, to transmit tumah. As the Gemara says, it's not like we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Parah. whatever invalidates truma, that is, which the Gemara Masechet Shabbos and Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis explains regarding what's called the 18 things that they made a gzeira on, which we said that these 18 things have a status of a sheni l'tuma. When these things touch truma, they invalidate the truma and turn it into a shlishi. So all those things, metami mashkin, they also convey tuma to beverages, even if those beverages are chulin, liyos tchila, for the beverage to then go ahead and become a rishon midrabanan. Chutz mitful yayim, which the Mishnah there explains, that's besides for a tful yayim, where that he invalidates truma to a shlishi, although all the other 18 things are invalidating truma into a shlishi, they're only midrabanan. The tful yayim is min hatayra, and that's exeris akasim. However, it is still a weakened state of tumah, and that's why it's only going to make the truma into a shlishi. There, the Rabbanan did not make a gzeira to make the beverages that touch a tful yayim into a rishon tumah, because the halachas that are min ha-tayra do not require strengthening, and therefore, although it seems to be in the same category that will make truma into a shlishi, we did not make a beverage that touches a tful yayim into a rishon tumah. Now, Rashi explains the reason why the yotches davar are mitami only mashkin and not machalim, not food items, is because beverages are more susceptible to tumah than food items. And what makes it more vulnerable is because it can acquire tumah even without what's called hechsher, preparation, because food items need to be prepared first, that it have to have water, a beverage that went on it and you were willing with it. Beverage can become tumah without any preparation. So therefore, the Rabbanim make gzeiros very stringent regarding beverages, that the Kohanim should be very careful to protect them, because or else it can convey tumah very easily to other things. So therefore, from that Mishnah we see that a liquid, which is what oil is of the shlishi, could become a rishon, midrabana at least, even if it touches a rishon or a sheni. And therefore, if at most what we're talking about is a transmission of tumah midrabanan, which is what you want to say, then it would be the case that you could even say it not with touching a tamei mace, which is what the ner shamateches would be, an ava tumah. It could even be to make it a rishon by touching rishon or sheni. So rather from this, from the fact that we see Rabbi Kiva went to search after a case to say of a rishon min ha-tayra, that's how what the oil is becoming by touching an avatama. So from there you hear dairaisahi, that obviously that the transmission that the beverage is giving to other things to make it into sheni is min ha-tayra and not min rabban. And Rashi says that the whole Seder of Tumah that we were talking about in the sugya, that an Av makes a Rishon, and the Rishon makes a Sheni, and that's where it ends for Chulin, and not anymore, and the Sheni makes a Shlishi by Truma, and the Shlishi makes a Revi by Kaidesh, they're all Minatayr, and the Gemara later on, the sugya and the Yud Ches Mabez, will explain the sources for these halachas. And ultimately, what we see over here is a resolution of Yehuda's opinion regarding why, in his explanation of Rebbe Kiva's Hoysof and Kininus Kanakanim, why it had to be talking about a Nir Shal Mateches and not a Nir Shal Cheres, because as we explained, it had to be talking about a Nir Shal Mateches because of the terminology of our Mishnah, and therefore that's why he said it was talking about a Nir Shal Mateches, and that's the Chiddush more than Rebbe Kininus Kanakanim case, which was only increasing it by one level, and Rebbe Kiva was adding it from a Shlishi to a Rishon. So now the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah. Amr Reb Meir says, based on Midivrein, from their words, Lamanu, we learn that Erev Pesach, when we're doing beer chametz, and this truma of chametz items, you have to do beer on all these things, you can go ahead and burn the truma tay with the truma tameya, and we're not concerned about that it's going to get tamei in the process of burning it. So the Gemara inquires, Midivreihem deman, who are these Midivrein? From whose words did Reb Meir learn this halacha? And we have two opinions in our Mishnah. If you said he was learning out from the words of Chanin Skanakanim that said you ought to burn this meat of Kachim, that's a shlishi, together with a rishain, and that we said then it becomes a sheni, mi dami? Can you compare the two cases? Hasim tame v'tame. There, it's something that was already tame, a shlishi, as we said, it's called tame because it can make a revi, with something else that's tame, which is a rishain. Hacha tahar v'tame. Here, we're taking something that was totally tahar and making a tumah. How can you see that from increasing tumah to creating tumah that's allowed? How do you see that? So the Gemara says, you're right, you wouldn't be able to say it from Reb Chanin Skanakan. So rather, we'd be learning out from Reb Kiva that he says you're allowed to take Shem and Shlishi and go ahead and burn it in a lamp that's an avatum. On that, the Gemara says, me dummy. You're right, that's closer, but it's still not hasam pasal v'tumah. There, you had something that was at least invalid, although you're right, it wasn't quote-unquote tame, but it was invalid because it was a shlishi for truma, and it cannot convey tuma further, so it's not tame, but it's invalid. Vitame and something that's tame. Hacha, again, tahar vitame. He hasn't made totally tahar. Truma tahar, regular truma, you're just burning it because it's chametz. How can you do that with tame? Where do you see that from Kiva's opinion? So the Gemara says, what you have to say is that Namek Sav Remeir, let's say that Remeir holds, from the fact that he's learning, quote, midivrehem, from their words, that masnitin, that the case of our Mishnah, which is the case of Reb Chanina, that regarding the basar, the meat, that is a shlishi, that you're burning with the meat, that became tummy from an ava tumma, this that the Mishnah was talking about, was be'av ha'tumma day rice. That as all avatumas, there is no rabbinic avatumma, all avatumas are day rice. So that's as we had understood up until now. However, the thing that's being changed according to a Remeir's understanding, the case of Chanina Skanakanim, is Uvlad HaTumah D'Rabbanan. Regarding the case that we were speaking about, that the meat that became tummy from the Vlad HaTumah, which we essentially had explained, that that's a Vlad Vlad, that's why it was a Shlishi, that it became tummy from the Vlad HaTumah, that was D'Rabbanan, not D'Rais. As Rashi explains, for example, a vessel that became tummy from a beverage, that Min HaTorah, as we had explained, that food items and beverages cannot convey tumah to a kli. And the reason is because an oichel, a food item, can never become an avatumah, and a kli can only become a rishon. So therefore, there's no possibility ever for a food item, min ha-tayra, to convey tumah to a kli. It's the rabbanon that they made a gzeira, as we had just finished explaining before in the Gemara before, that a beverage could convey tumah to a kli. And the reason being is because we're concerned about other beverages that are avatumah. Not food items, in other words, not beverages that are things that we consume, but rather the liquid from a zav and a zava that emanate from their body, for example, their spit and their urine, which the Gemara in the first parak of Masechta Snida, Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, explains, that has a status of an avatumah. Now, therefore, this meat that became tummy from that kli is a vlad vlad drabbanon. Right, as we explained before, we were talking about a sheni because we said, or else if it was something different, it's not going to be increasing any tumah. So we're saying that this thing that became a shlishi originally, and we said it touched a vlad vlad, but the chiddush of the Gemara is saying now is to touch a vlad vlad of d'rabbanan, and the way it is that way is because the beverages itself was a vlad atumah. It itself is a rishon, as we said, that's what it becomes m'drabbanan. And the vessel that touches that beverage becomes a vlad vlad rabban. It becomes a sheni midrabbanan. And now that touches the piece of meat, which becomes a shlishi midrabbanan. The midaraisa tahar ma'alya, that min ha-tayra, obviously, that piece of meat that became a shlishi through that whole chain is totally tahar min ha-tayra, because the whole thing, the whole process didn't start min ha-tayra, because the beverage itself that was the rishon was all midrabbanan, that then conveyed the tumah to the kli midrabbanan, that then went ahead and conveyed the shlishi to the piece of meat. On that, the chiddush of Reb Chanina is that since it at least had, although it's only a tumah midrabbanan, but it already had tumah, albeit on the rabbinic level, that you could still be metamit with a rishon de'iraisa, turning it into a sheni midairaisa. And that is, although it was already a shlishi, but it was only a shlishi midrabbanan. And then we continue on the top of Tezvav Amed Aleph, Umay midivreim, and what was the, so to speak, from their words that Remeir had said, that we learned this halacha that I'm trying to tell you of, burning the truma tayr with the truma tmeya, Erev Pesach, for the chametz, that was midivir b'chanina sekanakam. That was learned out from the words, from the opinion of b'chanina sekanakam. And as Rashi explains as follows, truma tahira, in the sixth hour, when we burn the chametz midrabbanan, is similar to this shlishi that was tahar min ha-tayra, yet it was tamei, which essentially what tamei means is that it's aser bahana midrabbanan. Here too, the chametz is still mutter min ha-tayra until the beginning of the seventh hour. That's when biblically you have to burn it, that you can't have enough from it. And now it's in the sixth hour, which is the hour before, it's only aser midrabbanan. Now since Reb Chanina taught us that you could be mitame tumah d'rabbanan with tumah d'oraisa, again, as we just explained the case, but not just that he didn't just say that you could be mitame tumah d'rabbanan with tumah d'oraisa, but it's also through a process of rabbanan, because as we have to recall, as the Gemara had resolved on Amud Aleph of Daf Yud Daled, that we're talking about two pieces of meat, and a piece of meat to be mitamet to another piece of meat, it itself is only midrabanan. So therefore, we're saying that when you have something that's already asa midrabanan, which is what this shlishi is, what we're talking about, because it was only asa midrabanan because the mashka was a risha midrabanan and the kli was a shei midrabanan and the piece of meat is a shlishi midrabanan. So it's already asa bahana midrabanan. Now you could make it again, even something that's, so to speak, a higher level of tumah, midrabanan, because it's already anyways asa midrabanan. Because the reason why, although we're talking about that it is biblical tumah, but even biblical tumah, when it's an eichel, cannot be mitam another eichel, only midrabanan. So therefore, we could do the same thing over here. We could be mitame truma tahira, that's already in the same element tame, but it's not tame, it's already asa midrabanan, that you can go ahead and be mitameit with truma that's tame min ha-taira. Because again, it's only being mitame this truma midrabanan. And the same reason is because oichel, the food items of the other truma that's tameya, cannot convey tuma to the truma tahira, only midrabanan. And therefore, what we're talking about again, the chiddush over here is that we're learning out midivreihem lamanu, is that we could burn chametz of truma tahira with chametz of truma tameya, because the chametz of truma tahira is already pasul midrabanan, because midrabanan we already burn the chametz now. So though it's acquiring biblical tuma, but only through a rabbanan, because we're talking about oichel and oichel, and therefore that's exactly the case that we explained in of Reb Chanina's Kanakam. That's what Gemara says. Reb Meir had to have been learning based on what he was saying with Devrayim. Is the same idea that although it's acquiring biblical tuma, but through a process of rabbanan, so essentially it is only midrabanan. Oh, it's already possible midrabanan. You can go ahead and be mitame it now a greater level midrabanan because it's already anyway. That is the same chiddush of the case of Reb Meir of chametz. That it's, although it's acquiring, it was tahar, but it was tahar midaraisa. But midrabanan, it already was, quote, tameh, in the sense that it already was asr bahana. You can go continue to make it midrabanan asr by acquiring the tumah, because it's already, anyways, asr bahana on the level of rabbanan.